It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is Wednesday, April 17th. Got a ton to get into with you here as well. Oh, boy. Last night over at the Smoothie King Center. Good. Not so good. Was there any good? Yes. Not so good. Good amount of it. We'll get into it and discuss what took place over at the Smoothie King Center and what is ahead for your New Orleans Pelicans. Plus, we will have a little fun with Ralph Marlborough 1 week and a day, 8 days before the NFL draft. Sean Fox will join us here as well. Rod Walker. We'll start things off next segment. As we got a lot to get into, other than that, I want to open it up to you guys, and especially Pels fans, to see how you guys are feeling today as we get ready to take it to the next half of the week. Welcome to Midway Point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more of that, Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Welcome to Hour 1. It is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. Kayaks as well. 1926 Airline Drive. Over there. Last Friday. Thanks to Justin and folks over there. Go check it out. If you want to get into fly fishing, don't know how to fly fish, you got classes there. Part of the classes is instruction, and they take you out to fly fish. You can tell Buddy back over in the LaRose studios hello via the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in. RudermanCan.com. You got any plumbing issues, they will take care of it. They helped me even before they started advertising and sponsoring our caller hotline. Again, with all of our sponsors, give them a try. Local businesses helping you out. I'm going to do my best to help you out here as well if you're a Pels fan. I get it. It is a Wednesday afternoon now where it's, it's hard to kind of to see what took place yesterday and feel completely positive, yet I do think there is some positive. Last night, play in the get-in game for the Pelicans to take on the Lakers, part two. As good a start as you could have wanted yesterday. From the get-go, certain things you saw back on Sunday immediately wasn't happening. Lakers missing shots, Pels getting off early.
To Davis, and he missed the layup. Wow.
But that's the exact pick and roll we saw him working on today, and you give up an uncontested.
Oh, what a pass. Brandon Ingram, a little sidearm flip to a streaking Zion Williamson who dunks it in with two hands.
Zion had it going early.
Now McCollum, side right, crosses over Reeves, gets to the elbow, kick it to Zion, he's cut off, he spins left, he is bumped, he throws it off the window and in, no call on Anthony Davis.
Cut that. Cut this.
That theme right there, no call on AD, no call on this. Jonas
low post left, one-on-one with Davis again. Spins!
That's a foul.
Reverse layup, no blood, no foul.
A lot more contact right there.
You could hear the skin slap. James to Russell, catch and shoot, left wing three is good.
Mm-hmm. Pels, though, didn't let it get to them. They continued to fight yesterday.
Z, left block, floats it up. Dotted line!
Oh, Z.
Falling away and good.
Z with bottomless buckets here early.
Williamson with eight.
Shooting a fadeaway.
Not just on the offensive end.
LeBron one-on-one with Alvarado.
Double team came too late.
Oh, but the behind Z! Up the floor. Alvarado to Z. Head of steam. Chested by Jackson Hayes.
It's a bit of a theme there, by the way.
Williamson trying to rectify that. Triple team. Where's the foul? My goodness!
That is.
Lays it in. Where is it?
That is ridiculous.
Prince for three. No. Strong side rebound. Williamson is seven. That's three bodies that fouled Williamson.
So despite the Pels starting off well and winning the first quarter, in the second quarter, things changed. 34-16, still Pels trying to give that home crowd some momentum before the buzzer.
We saw Z do this in 3.9.
Well, he's got it. He crosses the timeline with two, with one, down the lane, off the glass and in, scooping lefty layup, ask and ye shall receive, Don DeCesar.
Don't stop till you get enough, Z.
They trailed 60-50 at the half. In the third quarter, fourth quarter, same thing. Pels having to fight to get back. By the way, at halftime, not that it matters, but the Pels had four free throw attempts. We'll get to that here in a quick second. Pels, though, could not knock down the three. It is a continued theme, unfortunately, here towards the end of the year, where the Pelicans, beyond the arc, at home, in the Smoothie King Center, cannot find the distance. In particular, C.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy struggled in that first half. Eventually, though, Trey getting one to go down.
Nance took the rebound away to Jose. Down nine with the ball. Alvarado squirts through. Get it to Trey. High.
Oh, my goodness. Trey be in.
That was a logo three from the right wing on the Smoothie King Center logo, and that brought rain.
And you heard Jose there. That is a theme to the way the Pels got back into this game, took the lead, and were poised there to maybe get this win.
He's going to have to put it up with two. He gets to the rim.
Missed the layup. Great block, Zion. Up the floor, Herb. Get a bucket, baby.
Be patient. Be patient.
Herb to Z. Rip it to Jose. Right wing three. Yeah!
Bless! Jose, Jose, Jose.
And then Zion, 38 points, has the ball.
Williamson, season high, 38 points. He's been fantastic. He drives on Anthony Davis, and he scoops it in over the front iron with a left hand. He's got an even 40.
He drives right. He switches back left because he wants to get to his left hand. Anthony Davis is off balance. He's caught unawares, and that's a teardrop from Z.
Timeout, Darvin Ham and the Lakers.
At that moment, the entire arena is pumped. You're pumped. You're like, my goodness, this guy is taking over the game. Didn't get the help at that point that you would have wanted from Brandon Ingram, who wasn't seeing a lot of action there in that fourth quarter. C.J. McCollum was struggling to shoot. Trey finally had one or two, but it was Zion versus the Lakers. Jose helping out, going back and forth, picking up the pace. On that play, though, on that drive by the free throw line, when he planted with that left leg, per Shams, Sharania of The Athletic, looks like he suffered a hamstring injury. You heard the call there from Ty Graffanini. The place was going nuts. You're sitting there going, this is an unbelievable finish. They're fighting. They may actually pull this out. And no one really saw that he was leaving or left the court. Obviously, TNT, the broadcast, showed him immediately after that bucket, tapping to his chest, pointing to the sideline, and as he walked off the court, grabbed the jersey, pulled it over his head, and then on the bench, grabbing a towel, spiking it, and going into the tunnel and locker room and never coming back out again. 3 minutes and some change. Still a chance for the Pels to win, but couldn't pull that out. So two things on that game. Pelicans do lose. 110-106. The season's not over. They play on Friday. The Kings did win last night, 118-94. We'll talk a lot more about that here in a quick sec, especially the bottom of the hour, setting up that matchup, etc. When you look at that game, and you look at what he was doing at that point, it was everything you wanted and waited 5 years for. 5 years for Zion to finally play in a postseason game. And I know it's called the play-in, and there are a lot of Pels fans that don't look at that as the postseason. I hear you. That's still considered a postseason game. It would have earned you the seventh seed. And he came out more aggressive than he did on Sunday. And he was doing whatever he possibly could. There were a lot of things that happened last night where he didn't get the help that he wanted. CJ could not get the range. He just could not get it going. Brandon Ingram, since his return on Sunday, and that's a topic that we're going to talk about. Lots of people on social media. Should he have been starting? Why didn't he play the fourth? Left after the game.
early. Didn't meet with anybody. Perhaps upset. Perhaps disappointed. Whatever the reason. But those are things we're going to talk about. Is it, you know, coaching? Is it players stepping up at the right time? What is it that the Lakers maybe did to help or hurt that? Whatever. But as far as that performance goes, I don't know how anybody could ever look at that and say that guy doesn't care, doesn't want to try, can't be a superstar, whatever. In the post game, you heard Charles Barkley talking about it. Even after the Kings game against the Warriors, he said it as well. He's like, that's the first time in my mind, because it is, again, postseason. That's where you make your name in the NBA. Zion is a star. He can be a superstar. He can do all those things. Comma, and then he gets hurt. You feel for the guy. Because there's that narrative that you know, and I'm hoping doesn't become the topic or the point after that game yesterday. Is it because you literally couldn't take him out and you played him the minutes or not? Is it just dumb luck? Is it, can somebody tell me what did somebody do in that organization to bring him out, the bad luck this team has? I mean, it's just, he's having the game of his life. Literally. And it's almost like you hate saying this. You wish they just would have lost. We can at least talk about it today. Hey, look at what he did. You didn't get the help from the other two guys. At some point, those guys will get going again. I feel good about Friday. But now the problem is, for those final 3 minutes, too, and credit the Pels for sticking in there, and I will get to the free throw disparity, which, by the way, again, there's two things on there. A, AD kept attacking the middle. Can you put Jonas in there, please? Anyway, but they did get some calls. They did get into it. That's not why they lost. At the same time, you cannot not look at it. When GIFs and memes by national people, not me, not the locals, but national people have GIFs of Roy Williams walking into the North Carolina, you know, locker room, and it says when Scott Foster walks in to meet the Lakers after the game. Look, all I'm going to say is this. It was a four-point game. You had four free throws at halftime. Attempts, not made. Attempts, four attempts. LeBron and AD each had 10. That's 20 apiece. The Pels had 15 total as a team. They had 29. They made 26 of 29. You made 11 of 15 in a four-point game. That is a factor. And Coach Willie Green talked about that. We'll hear what he has to say about that. The other factor is, again, the shooting from beyond the arc in this team just can't be found at home. 9 of 30. They were 14 to 35. Do the math. 14 times 3, 9 times 3. There's a difference there. It just matters. Brandon Ingram was 1 of 1. He attempted one. He knocked it down. CJ was 1 of 9 from 3-point. Trey Murphy was 2 of 6. It's tough. It's tough to win games. Last night, by the way, again, different game, but it's going to matter on Friday, especially if you don't have Zion. The Kings beat the Warriors 118-94. 18 made threes. Keegan Murray, 8 of 13. You know Sabonis is going to be a double-double. He had 16 points and 12 rebounds. You know De'Aaron Fox is going to get you 20. He got you 24. They got 32 from Keegan Murray because he knocked down 8 threes. You have got to be able to knock down threes. So why can't they? And that's something we're going to kind of look at here as well. We got a couple days before the game on Friday. The offense really didn't get going again until, as Charles Barkley said yesterday, and General D, go ahead and pat yourself on the back. I literally heard Charles Barkley say 15 times last night, this team needs a point guard. In the post-Kings-Warriors breakdown of this game, Kenny, Shaq, Charles talked about how Jose Alvarado, as the point guard, sped things up. They played better. It helped Zion. It created space. He saw Trey hit threes, things of that nature. It's one of the things that we were talking about the last couple of weeks, and even last weekend into this game. It almost feels like the identity of this team is still trying to be figured out, and that was game 84, right? Or 83. So that's something to think about and talk about as the season concludes. Hopefully it doesn't conclude on Friday. and it will be against OKC. That schedule did come out. If they win on Friday, it will start on Sunday. Game two is not until Wednesday. Game three at the Smoothie King Center, if the Pels win, would be on Saturday. That is a lot of time and days to rest, not only for this team, but if Zion Williamson can come back or not. I haven't gotten any update. They haven't produced anything yet. But Will Guillory, Rod Walker, who's going to join us next, they saw him leaving the arena yesterday. I'll ask Rod what he saw when we come back. The Sports Hangover is underway. Hour one brought to you by Noake Outfitters on ESPN New Orleans.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
To see him go down, you know, we're all praying and hoping that he's okay, but he was battling, he was going, and the team was right there with him. So it's tough. We'll see what happens, and we'll go from there.
At Rod Walker, NOLA's the way to give Mr. Rod Walker a follow over on X. He's a sports columnist for the Picayune and the Advocate. Rod, thank you for your time this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. No problem.
Oh, boy. how do you even describe last night, man?
Kind of hard to describe, I guess. It was just a kind of bizarre game just to see Zion. I mean, first of all, I mean, he just kind of the Zion that people in New Orleans and people who were watching the draft that night 5 years ago, this is kind of what you wanted to see out of Zion. And, you know, you finally got a chance to see it in a postseason game. I mean, he delivered and did his part and just didn't have a whole lot of help last night. And, I mean, obviously Jose played well and Trey had his good moments, but you look at the big three of Zion, CJ, and Brandon Ingram, and I'd say CJ and Ingram didn't give them a whole lot of help. So as a result, they lost the game.
You know, Rod, you look at obviously him going down, and I just kind of want to get to, because you were one of the people that tweeted there as well right afterwards. And look, all we can do is kind of judge two things after a game like that. The mood and attitude in the locker room, and more importantly, can you actually see him and see him leave? What did you see yesterday when the game ended, you're in the Pels locker room, and more importantly, what did you see from Z?
So after the, you know, we interviewed Willie Green, and actually I went to the Pelicans locker room and talked to Larry Nance. And at that time, Zion was not in the locker room yet. So I left, and I was trying to catch LeBron and Anthony Davis. I wanted to get some of their perspective. I didn't catch LeBron in time. But anyway, as I'm in the hallway, I do see Zion leaving, and he looked like he was in a really good – I don't mean he's laughing and high-fiving, but, I mean, he was in a, you know, pretty good – you know, he was smiling and, you know, dapping people up and, you know, hugging people as he exited, just like he always does. He wasn't limping. So, you know, I was a little surprised by that because I was just kind of thinking this is going to be something that would make him, you know, stay a little longer, maybe get some kind of treatment or something. But he seemed fine to me. I mean, if you had just seen Zion walking down the hallway, you would have assumed that if you didn't watch the game and saw Zion walking down the hallway, you would have assumed that everything was fine. So I'm curious to see, you know, what I assume we'll hear something at some point this afternoon or I don't think it'll be early tomorrow. I think we'll hear something at some point today. I'm expecting them to list him as questionable, probably. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it was
right.
Yeah, just his facial expression just didn't. He didn't seem like a guy who thought his season was over. And that's just, you know, from what I saw.
And that's what I wanted to bring up because, look, we've all been in locker rooms before in the past. And we had Will Guillory on the Pelicans podcast earlier, and he added what he saw too as well in being in the Pels locker room. And he brought up. The players were going over plays. It was Jose and Larry going over it. Zion was going over plays with his teammates and stuff. And then he brought up the contrast to being in the locker room. And, Rod, I don't know if you were there or not, when Boogie tore his Achilles or when a player gets injured like that. You know, my time when they traded Tyson Chandler, I'll never forget what that locker room felt like. Chris Paul looked like somebody, you know, had stolen his puppy. And David West, you know, just looking past you like there was nobody there. Brian, you know, Byron Scott didn't know that he was told. Like, you know and feel when there's something like that. And when I go to that play, and he immediately knew something happened and walked out. And that's why I'm bringing this up, you know, what you saw and what Will did as well, because it, you would know, right? I mean, players know, a locker room knows, and for them to immediately start going over things that they could have done and onto the next game, look, we don't know. But that gives me more hope other than, per se, he's done until next year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I feel like that's exactly how I left the Smoothie King Center last night. And, again, this is because of what I saw after the game. If I had just seen Zion leave the court slamming his towel down, I mean, maybe if that was all I saw, I'd be like, yeah, that's not good. But just seeing the mood afterwards just has me a little bit more optimistic than I probably would have been.
That said, I was going to say, Rod, I'm with you. And that's why we obviously wait for the official word and things of that nature. Look, I brought up going into the break. It is, you don't want to say it's beneficial. You want to get in. You don't want to play with, hey, now you have to beat the team six times and all. But, Rod, if there's a best-case scenario, this is a team in OKC I think you compete with. And when you look at that schedule, game one is Sunday, game two is Wednesday, game three is Saturday. That's an awful long time for somebody to heal up. This is a team in OKC I think you compete with. And when you look at that schedule, game one is Sunday, game two is Wednesday, game three is Saturday. That's an awful long time for somebody to heal up, get back, and even this team kind of heal up, because we saw that.
It's probably going to happen. The Pelicans are going to be on the road. You know, they're not going to be the home. They're not going to have home court advantage in any series. They're going to always be their own team. So that may be a good thing for this team, because they really stunk it up at home. Especially here lately. So, I like their chances if they can just get into the playoffs. And, beating a team six times it seems like impossible to do almost. But this is a team that the Pelicans definitely, is a team that the Pelicans definitely match up very well with. I mean, not only did they beat them five times, but the average margin of victory is like 19 points a game. I mean, they haven't just beat them. I mean, they have handled them. Because it's such a bad matchup for the Kings. And, I mean, obviously the Kings are playing a lot better, and they're a dangerous team. Obviously, you got a guy like De'Aaron Fox, and you got Sabonis. I mean, they're definitely a team that can be dangerous. But this is a team that the Pelicans really do match up well with. And, you know, they beat them by 33 points without Zion in January. And obviously, it's not the same game. But, I mean, there are a lot of things that make you think that the Pelicans can get this win Friday night.
But you brought it up, and it's something that I was going to bring up here on the show here as well. The reason they did that, Rod, is because C.J. McCollum went 7-10 from distance. He had 30 points. B.I. had 15. He only knocked down 1-3. But as a team, the Pelicans knocked down 19. 9 last night. You've been there, man. You've seen enough of these home games. What is your reasoning behind why this team cannot shoot the 3 at home as opposed to on the road?
It's really... I have no explanation for it. I wish I did. But it's really a big contrast. And, I mean, they're going to have to get that fixed if they want to. They're going to have to get it fixed to get into the playoffs, and they're going to have to fix it if they want to actually make some noise in the playoffs. And it's just, man, they're just so inconsistent there at home, and I don't know what the reason is.
I know it sounds silly, but I don't know if they'll do it. They don't listen to me, but why not just practice there tomorrow then? I mean, you know, just get some shots up there. I mean, do something. I don't know. It just at some point, it's not. I don't know if it's a trend or if it's a thing or it's just, hey, it was a bad game. When it's most of the season, it's something that you need to think about, right? I guess I don't know. But does it come down to Friday, Z or not? Can this team make a 3?
I don't know. That's gonna be the big question. But I mean, you do have to think it's a thing, I mean, because it's happened so much. And this is, I mean, you look at a team that's lost 7 of its last 8 games at home and a team that has the best record in the NBA on the road. I mean, it's one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen with a team that with this much talent. And we know these guys are good shooters, but for whatever reason, it's not happening in that building, and it should be. And then when it happens, I mean, it takes the crowd out sort of early.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll hit you and the crowd gets back in it, which is good. But, yeah, it's just really not being consistent enough on the outside.
Right there with the bad luck and timing of things, Brandon Ingram getting injured, going out, and then being available and coming back in the last two games. It seems like it's work to get the chemistry going there again. Didn't see a lot of action at the end of the game yesterday. Left early from the arena. Look, they're not beating the Kings, especially without Zion, if B.I. and C.J. don't get going. What do you make of that situation there? And do you start Trey for B.I.? Or do you say, hey, look, B.I.'s going to come back. You know what he can do for this team, and you trust one of your max players here.
I think last night was a little eye-opening for me. I did think, I thought the lineup that led the comeback with Zion, Larry, Trey, Herb, and Jose, I thought that lineup did really good. So I sort of understood why he just stuck with that lineup, because they led the comeback last night. But once Zion went out of the game and they did not bring Brandon Ingram in at that point, I was a little surprised. I think if you bring Brandon Ingram in with 3 minutes left and the game was tied at 95, I think, at the time, I think you probably give yourself a better chance of winning with Ingram in the game at that point. I mean, I just think I would have rolled with him, and that's why, you know, after the game, I asked Willie Green, you know, like, what went into that decision. The thing he said was that, you know, he just kind of liked the group that he had out there. And that's a little concerning, and I don't think, just based on body language after the game, I don't think Brandon Ingram was, and I rewatched the game on TV at home, and I just don't think he was too thrilled with not being there, especially stretching such a big game. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. So you got to hope that doesn't spill over into Friday. I mean, you get a guy who's disgruntled about things, you know, it could, you know, have an impact. But, you know, if he comes out ready to play and plays well, I think this team can.
I hate playing the what-if game, but it's kind of what we do. What if this team cannot win on Friday and goes into the offseason, Rod, having lost 7 straight home games when they needed to win one of those home games?
I think it's not a good look. I don't know. They'll have to make some changes, and I don't know what those changes would be. I don't think you can't get rid of a coach who won 49 games in a regular Western Conference. I think that's a bit much. But I do think personnel-wise, the team will have to make some changes. And, you know, just kind of based on what we saw, and I don't know how much of this is Brandon Ingram injury-related or just the fit, but, maybe they do, you know, see what they can get in exchange for him. I'm not sure which direction David Griffin is thinking about going, and I'm assuming David Griffin will be calling the shots regardless of what happens. But, I think they're going to have to do something different. I mean, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over. This is a guy who I'm the guy who wrote last year, I thought they should run the back with these guys. And, you know, so they definitely need to get into the playoffs.
Final thing for you, Rod, and thank you for your time again this afternoon. Look, the season's not over, but through 82 games into this point, too, I was bringing it up yesterday. Still think it's a good season, but obviously you remember how you ended it, and getting into the postseason's the key, right?
Yeah. I mean, everything they play for this season comes down to Friday night. If they don't win Friday, I mean, I don't think this team's
going to play out. No doubt. See what happens. Rod, thank you for your time this afternoon, sir. See you on Friday. At Rod Walker Nolan. No way to give a follow over there on X. Mr. Rod Walker, columnist for the Picayune and the Advocate. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
We cannot engrave your toaster.
Do not bring your toaster to Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
Your toaster is too big for us to engrave.
But we can definitely engrave your jewelry.
We can engrave pretty much anything that is no bigger than 4 inches by 4 inches.
But your toaster is bigger than that.
We bought this fabulous,
ultra-high-tech
engraving machine.
We can engrave secret messages inside your wedding band.
Or on a pendant.
Pretty much anything, and it's gorgeous.
What are you talking about?
Wes and Bobby, we're telling everyone about our new high-tech engraving machine.
That thing is like a Ferrari.
Indeed it is.
You told them not to bring that toaster, right?
Yeah, we covered that already.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, We have a very strict no-toaster policy at Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
Welcome to Ramsey's.
Welcome to Ramsey's.
Welcome to Ramsey's.
Bring us some things to engrave.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Sink or tub stopped up? Can't get it to drain? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
On the Rudiman Can caller and guest hotline, head coach Corey Brown of the NOLA Gold just had an emergency meeting he has to get to, so he's going to join us at 2:30. So at 2:30, we'll talk with Coach Corey Brown of the NOLA Gold. They're back home this week, taking on the Miami Sharks, hoping to snap a two-game losing streak. So we'll talk to him about that. That leaves the segment open. If you'd like to chime in on the conversation, Pels fans, I want to hear from you. How are you feeling today? What did you make of that game? A close game, a tough game. Game the Pels played a first quarter fantastic, second quarter kind of changed. There's a lot of different things we can kind of go into. The Brandon Ingram situation, CJ's struggles, Larry Nance's minutes, which some people were not fans of, with a couple of turnovers, three straight possessions, three straight fouls, not playing Brandon Ingram much in the fourth quarter, if at all, much less, as Rod Walker said, once Zion went out, why not bring him back in? You heard what Willie Green had to say after the game. And, I mean, that was his reasoning behind it. He was asked, why no Brandon Ingram?
I just like the group that was on the floor at the time. And B.I. is still getting back. He's still finding his rhythm. So I didn't want to force the issue. And I like the group that was going. They had some momentum going there.
Look, that's all fair. Right? And let's be honest, there were some struggles there, but at the same time, is this a fair question, or am I doing the hindsight's 2020 thing? If you felt that and you saw that, should you have started Trey Murphy on Sunday? Not even talk about yesterday. Both of these games are pretty important. Now, again, look, I can pour a cold one for you and probably make a good case for this might be the better matchup for the Pels, avoiding the defending champs. You're starting on Sundays. I mentioned game two is Wednesday. Game three is Saturday. You got a couple of days here to rest up, heal up, get going. Obviously, you wouldn't have won it this way, but I'm just saying, if you had to choose between OKC and Denver, so I mean, you can look at it that way. And I'm talking about, obviously, of course, Zion's healthy and all of that. But if I need to win one, and I know there was some continuity, and you just came off of a road trip where the offense was clicking, and there's a lot of argument, which is why I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason, because BI is available for an extension. And I saw numbers on social media posting it up there. You know, what if he wants 40 to 50 a year? Trey Murphy, do you give him that extension? Make sure he's part of your building blocks. What's his future with this team here as well? Who plays better with Zion? Who plays off one another better? Point is, though, I'm just going to take what Coach just said there. And Eric, I'm going to get to you in about a minute. He is a max player, he is a starter, and before he got hurt, nobody's having this conversation, right? You want him in the starting lineup. But if he is coming back at the time where you are right now, should you have started Trey? Now again, is it the hindsight 2020 thing? What if you start Trey and, you know, he scores 4 points and you risk upsetting Brandon Ingram, who wants to come back, who wants to be a part of this team, who is your assist leader? That's the other issue with this. It's something that I've been saying on our show. this is something that absolutely has to be addressed in the offseason. And this isn't just Willie. This is the front office. It's not just me anymore. It's not just General D anymore. It's not a caller anymore. Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny, Ernie. Most of the highlight package yesterday. This team needs a point guard. I mean, it's, you know, that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is when you look at who you involve and who you put in those lineups, do they play better with Larry Nance or Jonas? Again, there are arguments for both of those. You can say, well, look, Larry had 12 or even, I get it, Jonas had 10 in less minutes. And my argument would be, all I know is this. When Jonas is in there, AD tends to drive to the basket less and settles for shots, and Jonas bodies him up and battles for rebounds. When Larry was in there, AD feasted. I'm just saying, LeBron and AD targeted that matchup when Larry's in there. Again, you have to coach the players you're given. So it's a roster construction thing as well. There's nothing. It's game 83. You have to coach the game in front of you. You have to play Friday. Now, what do you do? But those are all things that it's just, when you're watching the game, you're kind of scratching your head going, it just feels like you're trying to find that identity there. Who are the best units? What are the best rotations on there? There were some rotations yesterday while Zion was cooking and got it going. You didn't surround him with many shooters. I love Jose. I love some of these other guys. That's great. But those aren't three-point shooters. Again, this goes back to the conversation you have with a lot of fans. That you haven't developed the play Jordan Hawkins. I mean, look, believe me, I would love to have him on right now. Are you going to throw him out there in this game? I don't know. But that's a guy you drafted, front office drafted, because he's a three-point shooter. He had 9 makes yesterday. Keegan Murray had 8. The Kings, 18 yesterday. It's one of the major reasons they beat the Warriors yesterday. You look at some of these rotations, it's Zion versus. And I thought it was interesting to hear what Charles Barkley said yesterday. He prefers Zion to be the finisher as opposed to the guy that initiates the offense and gets going. Now, again, there's pluses and minuses to it. The ball is in his hands. You saw him take, you know, coast to coast, go from one goal to another right before halftime and score. He's capable of doing that. He's energy, you know, all of that. I understand. But there are some things that we've all kind of brought up throughout the season that are rearing their ugly heads here as well. Who plays off of the best one another? It just really feels like there's no set, what do you do with the guy in the middle? And look, I saw Shemin, I think somebody else said that if you don't like what your centers are doing, don't go with them. Go with the wings. Go with, you know, Trey and B.I. and Jose and Zion and CJ. Just go that route then if that's the case. The problem is you're going to get out-rebounded against a big team like that. And even still, you were there. You were there. A lot of that as well is basketball IQ, making the right moves. They were up 1 off the inbound, underneath the basket, inbound the B.I. He takes a really tough shot with like 23 seconds on the shot clock. If he passes right, there's a video, I just saw a clip of it. Larry Nance is on the left wing. I don't want him taking the three, but he's going to pass right. Right wing, C.J. McCollum sitting there. Gus, he'll probably brick it. You're right. But I'll live with it. It's an open shot. B.I. forces a very tough shot against Austin Reeves. They go on and take the lead. It's little things like that that add up in games like that. So it's just something to think about. Maybe that's why coach at that moment said, B.I., come have a seat. I don't know. Eric, thanks for giving us a call here, man. What you got?
What you say, Gus? How you making out, bro?
Doing well, man. What you got, buddy?
Man, look, I was about to hang up because you pretty much hit on everything I was about to say. Honestly, I'm looking at this game, and I'm also looking at everything that didn't happen over the course of the year, and I'm literally, if you have played any organized sports on any level, you have to understand the gravity of chemistry. you hit the nail on the head. We wouldn't even be having this conversation, I believe. We wouldn't be having this conversation now if you had started Trey Murphy in the other game. You, what you did was you messed with the chemistry. You brought Brandon back. Oh, he's ready. His knee is ready. Let's insert him back in the starting lineup. But then all the confidence that Trey Murphy built up being in that starting lineup and in the groove that he was in, you messed it up by putting Brandon Ingram back in. And to me, if you started Trey Murphy in that last game, we are not having this conversation right now. Because of the just from the chemistry standpoint, I don't think Willie Green is great at adjusting or even sensing what is best at that point in time for from game to game. You hit what I was about to say was you already said it. Why am I playing Larry Nance when I have Jonas? And I understand. Even when they interviewed Willie during the timeout, and he said, oh, well, with Larry Nance, we're more mobile. But Anthony Davis is down low eating. You cannot stop him. At the end of the game, think about it like this. If just a casual basketball fan, do you think Jonas gets that rebound, or do you think Anthony Davis gets that rebound if Jonas is in the game? I'm talking about the rebound toward the end of the game that they called that mysterious phantom foul on. Anthony Davis hits the floor. They call him for a foul. They call Jonas for a foul. Larry Nance gets called for a foul. Jonas is in the game. I don't believe AD gets that rebound. And if I'm not mistaken, we were down by two at that point or tied. I can't really remember exactly. But I'm at a loss with this team. Well, really with the coaching staff, because our inability to adjust and make changes and just to have the heartbeat of your team, like just to check the tone of your team. I'm not going to lie, Gus, I'm a little thrown off by this one, bro.
Well, like I said, man.
You would think that people that get paid money to do their job, coaching or front office or whatever, would have a better feel and idea of which direction to go. For the life of me, I don't understand. We had opportunities at the end of each quarter to run a design play, for instance. Why didn't you put Jordan Hawkins in the game? Hell, why didn't you put Matt Ryan in the game? If we're moving forward as a team and you kept hearing all season long, oh, the Pelicans are a deep team, and they have good shooting, and they're deep. Now I understand. I've been watching basketball long enough to understand when you get to the playoffs, you're going to shrink your rotation. Right. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
For one, they shrunk it too fast. And I said, I told my partner, I said, Willie has started this too early. What he's going to deal with, he's going to start getting players with tired legs toward the beginning of the playoffs, instead of letting his bench play more, he shrunk the roster, he shrunk his rotation down way too early. Now you get into the playoffs, and you need to hit that second gear, and you can't, because you've been running this same 8-man rotation 10 games ago. Why are you doing that so soon? You're stunting the growth of Trey Murphy. You've pretty much killed the confidence of Jordan Hawkins. He don't even look like the same dude whenever he does get in the game. Matt Ryan was knocking down shot after shot after shot. He got hurt. Now he's back. You don't even play the man. And the other day when I knew it was going downhill when they brought Cody Zeller in the game, I'm like, so you mean to tell me I got Valanciunas sitting on the bench and you're going with Larry Nance and Cody Zeller? What am I missing here? And then you don't play Jonas till the fourth quarter. Gus, I don't understand what's going on, bro, but it don't look good. Whatever they're doing, it's not looking good. It's like they don't know what they're doing.
Like I said, they got one game here. Try to get into that postseason, man. If you do not get into postseason and go into the offseason with seven straight home losses, there are going to have to be some tough conversations. And there better be some conversations, right? I mean, one way, shape, or form.
I think so. Anytime Charles Barkley is on national TV telling you you need a point guard, I think you need a point guard.
Oh, boy. We have a Zion Williamson update.
But I appreciate it, Gus. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Eric, for the phone call. I'll give you the Zion Williamson update when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
A wolf. What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl. Dolphin. What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov.
/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's Ram Truck Month at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Rams, long-lasting new pickups, or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Whether you need a truck for work or home life, the Ram will do its job. Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started Frosted Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003, the Rudiment Can caller and guest hotline. And we do have an update per Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski, and it's the Woj Bomb, or in this case, as you hear the music, a Woj Iceberg. No other way to say it. Per Woj, ESPN sources, Pelicans forward Zion Williamson, left hamstring, is out for Friday's play-in tournament elimination game versus Sacramento. Here's the kicker. And will be evaluated again in coming weeks. Huge blow for New Orleans. Now, that's the part that stands out to me. I think you could probably figure maybe he's not available Friday, coming weeks. Coming week would be next week. Weeks means to me, again, I'm just taking, I mean, you would put an S there on purpose, meaning whatever the source is saying is they feel that this is an injury that would take weeks to heal, not days. I could be wrong. They could be also not trying to put a timetable on things, but I do find weeks is a very specific way to put it. I just like, you know what? Give me a call. 800-998-1003. What did somebody do? What did you do? What did you do as a member of New Orleans to get the juju this bad? What is it about this city and this team? They don't just have a bobo, a sprained toe, or something. It's injuries that takes several games or weeks at the absolute wrong time. Starting quarterback breaks his back against the Falcons week one. He doesn't get a bruised back. He breaks vertebrae. I mean, seriously. Not just him. Three Saints starters that first game against the Falcons a couple years ago go down. What is it? What did y'all do? Bradley just sent me a message. It's because we're below sea level. Okay, at least there's a reason. That's something. It makes no sense, but that's a reason. Give me something. Why is the luck the way it is? The man at the game of his life puts the ball on the floor, steps, stops, Hammy, see you in a couple of weeks. What? 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 There it is. You heard it? Andrew, how are you today, sir?
Just living the dream, Gus. Just living Pelican dream / nightmare. But, you know, it's for me, and I mean, not that you remember every one of your callers and every single call they make, and I'm glad you even echoed that, and I'm even glad Charles Barkley echoed it last night about, you know, the Pels needing a point guard. I know me and General D and others have been shouting it from the mountaintops for I can't even tell you how long. But ultimately, for me, it just comes down to two moves. The Pelicans need to bring in a point guard. And as much as it hurts me to say this, the Pels need to move out Willie Green. And that's just the bottom line. I feel like, man, I have so many positive memories of Willie Green, and I have so much respect for the man. It feels like I got my best friend to come work at the same place that I work, and I'm trying to make excuses for him constantly. And it's like he's getting to the point where, like, this isn't it. It's just not working out. You know what I mean? He could be a coach somewhere else. He's an excellent coach. I think he's probably an excellent man, individual. But that's what this comes down to. This doesn't come down to Brandon Ingram looking like he was disinterested last night. I don't even know. It looked like this was his first NBA game. There's just so much. We've already talked X's and O's this entire season. There's so many things that defy logic that don't make any sense on why you're taking Jonas out. Let me ask you this, Gus. Do you know how many teams in the NBA only have one point guard on their roster?
Look, it was a calculated.
It's only the Pels.
It was a calculated gamble from the get-go. David Griffin, Willie Green, right? They've told you positionless basketball every time that was brought up. Because, look, this wasn't something that just started, to your point, Andrew. This was a topic last year. This was a topic going into the offseason. This was a topic at media day. This was a topic. Do you need a point guard? And every time this is brought up to the coaching staff or front office, the answer is we have several people that can handle the basketball. To which I've always said, Andrew, I hear you. That's great. There's a difference between you getting to the league as a playmaker, a scorer, a defender, a three-point shooter, and a point guard. Get to a college high team or drafted out of high school as a point guard or drafted into the NBA as a point guard because you're a point guard. Now, again, if I was to pull up the description of a point guard, most of the things that I would probably pull up would say ball handler, operator of the offense, good ones, really good ones, initiate the offense. The really, really, really good ones are the floor generals, right? I mean, like that's the description of the position. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why I was saying, look, B.I. has had probably one of his better years as a pro. Defensively, he's shown growth. Offensively, the willingness to pass. And again, he's the team leader in assists. Now, do you want Brandon Ingram to be your assist leader? He's a scorer, right? I mean, he's a scorer, though. That's what I'm saying. So, that's the thing with me. So, I mean, I don't know. Their philosophy, their calculated philosophy is, but we're going to present so many options to you that you won't know who to guard, you know, and all of these guys are going to be facilitators, and all of these guys are going to be open. The .5 mentality, pass, you're open, shoot. I understand that. All I'm saying is in clutch times, though, there's a reason. If you look at the teams that are very successful in the NBA clutch, they have a go-to person, they have a ball handler, they have a point guard. They just do.
They have 2, 3, and 4 point guards on their roster. We have one, Jose Alvarado, and he's not even a starter. I mean, I like Jose. I want him to keep him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this to disparage Jose.
Yeah.
But so basically what you're telling me, Gus, and I know how you feel, so I know I'm not really saying this necessarily towards you.
Mm-hmm.
But so basically what we're saying is that David Griffin, if we want to throw Willie Green in there, they're reinventing the NBA because they're the only team in the NBA that has one point guard on the roster. Most teams, even ones with elite point guards, still have two and three, and some teams have four point guards on their roster. I'm not talking about starters. I'm just not even on the actual roster list. Even if they don't even see a minute all season, they at least have two, three, four point guards on the roster. The Pels have one, and he's been injured very often, and he's not even a starter. And I do like the guy. So like I said, I'm not saying this to disparage Jose, because I think he brings a lot of energy and he has a little bit of that dog, which is definitely what the Pels need on the roster in another way. But, like, this is just – it's just mind-boggling because, like I said, it just we've talked about this so much through the this season, and this season's over. I mean, Zion's hamstring, come on, man. Wasn't that what he had last year in January and he was out for the rest of the season? He ain't
3 months,
back.
Yes.
He ain't coming back. I mean, it's done. I mean, it's just – it's just as sad. This is that Willie Green, like I said, I have nothing bad to say. It's just is not working out. He's got to go. Willie Green's got to go, and a real point guard has to come in. Keep Jose. I like Jose, but a real point guard has to come in. I mean, this is not that complicated. I mean, when anybody and everybody can see it, they're like, oh, no, we're playing a different kind of basketball. Okay, so all the rest of the teams in the NBA are playing one way, but you guys have cracked the code? No, I don't think so. All right, you guys are not even making the playoffs. Y'all haven't cracked any code. Okay? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm trying to think of the Golden State. I mean, they got Steph Curry. There's these rosters that have these, I mean, amazing point guards, and they still have two or three point guards behind them. We have nothing. But Jose, and he hasn't even been healthy. Like, it's just so stupid. That's why, and the reason why it's so stupid, Gus, is this is why Willie Green doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to who to play, who to sub in, who to put out. He's going small, he's taking JB. Brandon Ingram comes out back if they don't know what they're doing anymore. The dude wasn't gone for 2 months.
But look, man, I'm with you. I'm with you on a lot of that, in that it's what I've been saying. It's very odd that again, all I do is just I just observe, and I'm just, the first thing pops in my head is identity. It just feels like this team is trying to find its identity, and it is a very peculiar time to be doing that. Right, Andrew? I mean, I'm just saying, in October, November, December, January, were you winning games playing small ball? But now you feel that's what you need against these teams? Well, then you should have made a move at the trade deadline. Just confused, that's all. Hour 2, next on ESPN New Orleans.
Driveways, pave it. Parking lot.